so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin.
You are now listening to the words of truth.
Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's feeling low,
you can always listen to the words of truth.
Let us put our hands together as we bring amen to the sacred desk this morning. Amen. One of the members and preachers here at Gospel Tabernacle, the president of the women's ministry. Amen. The general secretary of Church Without Walls. Amen. Put your hands together for Minister Yvette Urquhart as she come at this time. Celebrate her.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. That's all right if you're doing it for me, but let's give some praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the glory and of the honor and of the praise. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. I do not take it for granted because I know it could have been the other way, but thank God for his grace and his mercies that are new every morning. Amen. So I'd like to give an honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the shepherd of this house and our spiritual father, Bishop Kale Stone. Amen. To the fragrance of the house, our beautiful one and only elect lady, Paulette Stone. Amen. To my co-laborers, Evangelist Barbara Hubbard and our evangelist Darvin Gregory, and to our MIT Maurice Scott, and to my handsome and intelligent and humorous and supportive husband, James Urquhart. I just thank God for this opportunity to stand behind his sacred desk on this morning and to stand before God's people on this blessed day that the Lord has made. Anybody glad this morning? Anybody joyful? Amen, amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy and for your goodness, God. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen, amen, amen. As Pastor Kale said, St. Louis was awesome. It was so much. I'm still trying to soak it all in. It was days just packed with just so much information that caused you to look at yourself and to look at your walk with God and to make you want to pull up and to do better. And so I'm just glad to be here this morning. And I want to begin this morning by sharing with you an interesting story that I read about, and it ties into what I'll be speaking about this morning. So, there's this young lady named Jasmine who was a successful graphic designer living in a busy city. Now, on the outside, her life looked picture perfect. She had a great job, a decent apartment, enough clients to keep her busy. She had built her own brand and her own business, had her own path. But deep down, she was tired, not just physically, but spiritually. Every night, she'd sit at her desk, surrounded by glowing screens, design drafts, and deadlines. She'd look at her work and whisper to herself, "Is this really all there is?" She didn't hate her life, but she couldn't shake the feeling that she was made for so much more. There was a nagging emptiness behind all the success. One evening as she strolled through social media, she paused on a video of a preacher talking about purpose. The preacher said, "God is calling some of you to drop what's familiar and follow him to the unknown because you've been fishing in the wrong waters for too long." Now, this hit her like a wave. She realized that her net wasn't rope and twine. It was her plans, her comfort zone, her need for control. That night, Jasmine didn't hear an audible voice, but in her spirit, she felt God say, follow me. There's more. She didn't shut down her business overnight, but she did make a shift. She started seeking God like never before. She joined a ministry. She started mentoring young women. She surrendered her plans. And in doing so, she found her purpose. I stopped this morning to talk to you from the subject, drop the net. Answering the call to follow Jesus and to be about our Father's business. Our scripture from this morning will be coming from Matthew 4th chapter, verses 18 through 22, and Luke verses 2, chapter 2, verse 49. Again, our scripture is coming from Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, and Luke 2 and 49. And Matthew 4 and 18 and 22 reads as thus. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Luke 2 and 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Let's take a look at what's happening in scripture leading up to the verses that's in our text. In Matthew 3, it introduces John the Baptist, who is preaching in the wilderness, calling for people to repent and be baptized as a sign of the readiness for the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus, despite being without sin, asked John to baptize him in the Jordan River. This baptism marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The event of Jesus' baptism, where the Holy Spirit descended upon him and a voice from heaven declared, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, served as a public confirmation of the divine identity as a Son of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. Jesus resisted the devil and overcame temptation by the power of the word of God. Now this brings us to our text as we will find Jesus teaching in Galilee. There are about 6 points that I want to bring out as we talk about following Jesus and being about our Father's business. The call to follow Jesus is personal and purposeful. Jesus didn't call the crowd. He called them by name. He didn't say, hey, y'all, come on. He made it personal so they knew exactly who he was talking about. If he would have said, hey, y'all, or hey, you, they might have ignored him and said, oh, he ain't talking to me. He must be talking to you. But Jesus called them by name. Our walk with Christ is not accident. It's intentional and specific. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God doesn't just call us from something. He calls us to something greater. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Point two, immediate obedience unlocks destiny. The disciples responded immediately. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. See, they didn't ask any questions. They didn't say, wait a minute. I'm doing something. I can't do it right now. I need some details. Where are we going? What are we going to be doing? When we coming back? Without question, they got up and started following Jesus immediately. We often want clarity before we obey. But Jesus calls us to trust before we see the full picture. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Point 3, transformation comes in the following. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Transformation is a process that begins with obedience. Deuteronomy 5:33, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We don't have to be perfect to follow him. We just have to be willing. Philippians 3:12-14, "I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me." Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. That was from the Message Bible. Point 4, following Christ means being about my Father's business. It's not about leaving something. It's about God's mission. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we want, that we desire, will be added unto you." Following Jesus means aligning with kingdom purpose, serving others, and making disciples. 1 Peter 4, 10-11, "Each of you should use whatever gift ye have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord." People of God, we must be about our Father's business. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Point 5, the net represents our old life. Nets symbolize our comfort zones, our careers, our identities, and our personal plans. To follow Christ fully, we must release what we've depended on and trusted more than him. We must release what we've depended on and trusted more than him. What is the net you're still holding on to? I've heard people make statements like, "I've been saved all my life." Yeah, but you're still messy. You're still gossiping. You're still lying. You're still fornicating. You're still hating. You're still prideful. You're still harboring unforgiveness. We don't want anyone to tell us nothing, and some people are afraid to say anything to us because we might get an attitude or get all up in our feelings. Somehow, some way, some of us have gotten off track. We have gotten too relaxed. We're making it more about us than about the kingdom. We've got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Some of us have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5. We outwardly appear religious. Oh, yeah, we got it down packed. We got the look. We got the talk. But we lack genuine spiritual power or transformation. So this is a clarion call for all of us to examine our nets. Our nets of comfort and fear and pride and self-made plans, and the list goes on and on. As I attended the conference in St. Louis last week, I listened to the teaching and the preaching, and I started feeling convicted about some things concerning my life, and I began to examine myself, and I realized there's some nets I need to lay down so I can walk in purpose and fulfill God's calling that is on my life. Amen. What are some nets we need to drop or lay down? We need to drop the net of giving our own opinions and our own two cents worth, what we think, and we need to pick up God's truth. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 12 and 19. We got to put down our own agenda and doing things our way and submit to God's way. Proverbs 28 and 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to put down the net of our own way of thinking. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Put down our emotions and get out of our feelings. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your needs known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Put down and drop the net of gossip. Ephesians 4, 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. James 1, 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Hallelujah. Put down and drop the net of your bad attitude, anger, and unforgiving heart, and pick up compassion and grace. Psalms 145 and 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Ephesians 4 and 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Put down your net of confusion, division, and disunity. Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen. Put down your nets of pride and selfishness and worldly lusts. Proverbs 11, 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Put down and drop the net of your excuses. We all got an excuse. Hallelujah. I don't know. James 1 and 5 says that if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I can't. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's too hard. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. My brothers and sisters, we are without excuses. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Point six, we can't catch a new thing holding on to the old. We can't live our new life in Christ to the full, and we are still holding on to some of our old bad habits and sins. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, all things become new. New assignments require free hands. You can't start your new job if you keep showing up at your own old place of business. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot do it. No matter how hard we try, we can't do it. We must forget those things that are behind and press forward. The nets we let go of make room for the miracles God wants to work through us. We have to lay down our nets and follow Jesus without hesitation, without reservation, but being obedient, trusting him, following him, doing things God's way. Serving, loving, giving of our time and our talent, working, supporting, helping, and the list goes on. On this past week, one of the bishops told us that the world is getting ready to come back to church. So, y'all, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. This is why it's so important that we be about our Father's business. It's important that we're not doing our own thing or a good thing, but we are doing things God's way. The bishop said he is afraid that the church is not ready for the world to come to church because we may run them away with our bad attitudes, being judgmental. And because when they come to church, they're looking for something different, something better. But they may find that the church looks like the world, acts like the world, and sometimes living like the world. They may find that some of us shout on Sunday morning, but we were dropping it like it was hot in the club on Saturday night. They may hear us speaking in tongues on Sunday, but heard us cursing someone out in the grocery store. They may hear us preaching a powerful and soul-stirring sermon about living holy, but in the streets, our lives reflect otherwise. We are children of God, created in his image, and our lives should be a reflection of him. So while we are playing in church, people are hurting, people are dying, people are lost, people need healing, they need breakthrough, they need deliverance, they need us. So we have to get in place, lay down our personal nets, and be about our Father's business, fasting and praying, living holy because God is holy, being obedient, following Jesus, no turning back. It doesn't matter if they don't understand us, if they talk about us. Regardless how hard, we have got to put down our nets, follow Jesus, and be about our Father's business. It's time for us to be all in, to stop being slothful concerning the things of God. It's time for us to put our ways and feelings aside and realize that it's not about us. It's about the kingdom. Bishop said it's not about I or me. It's about we. It's about doing things God's way, being holy, being set apart, being true followers and disciples of Jesus. There's a song that they used to say, let it be real, let it be real. Everything you do for the master, let it be real. We don't want to be fake and phony and pretending. We want to be all that God has called us to be. I am more determined now than ever to be sold out for Jesus, to die to my flesh, and to walk according to his will and to his way, to put down my nets and to follow him. Amen. Amen. One thing I found out, that we can't go wrong doing it God's way. We can't. It's not easy being a child of God or follower of Jesus, but y'all know what? It's worth it. Even Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Does anyone have a nevertheless in their spirit? Nevertheless, God. Nevertheless, I'll do it. I'll go. You know, the Bible has over 8,000 promises. So when we follow Jesus, we have some promises, y'all. We have some benefits. And God is not slack concerning his promises. He is a man of his word. Your job may have benefits, and you might have a good life insurance policy, a good auto policy, a good retirement plan, but they can't touch the benefits we receive when we follow Jesus. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that ye may be careful to do everything written in it. In the promise, then you will be prosperous and successful. Amen. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We got benefits, y'all, when we follow Jesus. Exodus 23:25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Promises, y'all. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? When we follow Jesus, we don't have to worry, even in the midst of troubles and trials and all the things that come our way. If we follow Jesus, God's going to take care of us. He's promised it in his word. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessings and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. Amen. We need to put down our nets, our own agenda. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He has need of workers. He has need of workers. So we have to be about our Father's business. Chris Tomlin has this song about following Jesus. It says, all your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my side, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light unto the world. Light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek. Knowing I will find all I need in you alone. In you alone. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow you. People of God, let's put down our nets. Follow Jesus, chasing after him, hungering and thirsting after him, doing the work he has called us to do. The Lord is in need of workers. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. It's time to be about our Father's business. God has need of us. And the world is looking for us. And we want the world to find us doing the will of the Father. Being the light. Being the salt of the earth. Being the hands and feet of Jesus. Making Jesus famous. I have a few questions that I want to leave you with. And I want you to ponder as you go throughout your day and throughout your week. And those questions are, what are the nets you need to lay down? What are the nets you need to lay down? Are you willing to follow Jesus even when it doesn't make sense? Are you willing to follow Jesus at all expense? Are you willing to follow Jesus even when it doesn't make sense? Are you willing to follow Jesus at all expense? What does being about the Father's business look like in your life right now? That's why I had to examine myself at last week. What does it look like right now? It's all right being good, but I want it to be God. I don't want to come to church all my life thinking that I'm doing good and then get to heaven and hear him say, depart from me, I know you not. So I want to be about my Father's business. Anybody want to be about their Father's business? All right, let's stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be about our Father's business. Amen. Putting down our nets, our own agendas, our own way, and do it God's way. Because when you're in the military, when you go to the police force, and when you go to your job, you don't go in there and give them a plan of how you're going to do things, right? And the same way with the kingdom. God has given us 66 books to follow, to go by. And if we follow that and follow God's way, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. Amen. Amen.
Come on, can we praise God for the word? You may take your seats. Come on. Hey, amen. Let's praise God for the messenger. Amen. We thank God. That's a word. Amen. Tell somebody beside you, drop your nets. Amen. And here's the thing. I want to say this. We all got nets. Ain't none of us in tomorrow. I ain't got no nets. And if you said that, you just picked up a net. The net of lying. Because you lying if you say you ain't got none. Amen. We all got something. The thing is, though, is that once we recognize it, then just don't make excuses for it. Let's get it right. That's why Jesus died. He died so we can get that covered. Amen. And we just pray.
You are tuned in. The word is so real, tell a friend. We're trying to get right free of sin. You are now listening. to the words of truth. Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone. And when life's feeling low, you can always listen to the words of truth.